Returning to Judges chapter 13. Judges 13. This is the account of the prophetic announcement of the birth of Samson. And this story here, when we're looking at this woman and Manoah, the wife of Manoah and Manoah, it's a story of the encounter, their encounter with God. And it speaks to our encounter with the true and living God who hear the promised word of our God in Christ. And in this account here, it's first to the woman and then it's to that man named Manoah. And they are typical of our need. They're typical of our need and they're typical of our experience as believers. Now, we were here last week. We looked at the first five verses and we saw that the church, this woman is a picture of the church. And we see that by nature, she's barren and bears not. She cannot bear fruit. She cannot have a child. And that's typical of us by nature who cannot bring forth fruit unto God. But what we find in grace, the grace of our God, is that he's the one, the Spirit sets upon the trees that are the planting of the Lord, his people. He sets that fruit that they should bear. And it's by his grace and power that we are made fruitful in good works, that we do those things which are pleasing to our God because they are offered. They're done in Christ, who is that incense by whom they smell sweet. It's the savor of Christ. And so our God is pleased with the works that come forth because they're not our flesh's works. They're the works of Christ in us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which our God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, in this woman, I call her the woman because most often in this chapter she's referred to as the woman, but she is the wife of Manoah. But in this woman, we are given a picture of the church. We saw this last week, that she is typical of the church of Christ, who in the flesh doesn't bring anything good forth of her flesh, but Christ does in her. And we see how that she's saved by grace and she goes from being barren and physically unable to bring forth works to God. But she goes from that barrenness to being fruitful in and by the grace of God in Christ. And so that picture that we saw of her being typical of the church, we're going to carry that forward throughout this whole chapter. We'll see this, how that she's encouraged by this word and is joyful. And so she goes to her husband, she goes to another and tells him what's been said to her. And then he comes needing to hear this word for himself. And then when he hears this word preached by Christ, then he believes. He believes, he receives that word. And so we see how Christ is the gracious one. He is our Savior. He's the one who delivers us and brings us into life and truth. So I've titled this, The Woman and Manoah. Now, the angel of the Lord here is Christ incarnate, pre-incarnate. This is Christ before he came in the flesh. This is the Son of God by whom we know the Father. He's the one that reveals the Father to us. And so it's always been Christ. He is the Word of God. He is the light of God. He is the uncreated light that shines upon this dark world in which we live. And when he shone forth, when God brought forth the uncreated light, saying, "Let there be light," and there was light, that is all Christ. That's all Christ. Declaring that God had a gracious purpose for a people that he would create and put on this planet. It was God's gracious purpose being declared in that shining light. So this angel of the Lord is Christ pre-incarnate, and he confronts her and he declares to her the promise of his grace. And We know that this isn't the only time that this has been done. Christ appeared to his people several times in the scriptures. And we read in the scriptures how that oftentimes, most of the times, God spoke to us by his prophets. By his prophets. He spoke to the people by the prophets. But we're told in Hebrews 1 verse 2 that it's in these last days, since Christ came in the flesh, that now our God speaks to us by his Son. He speaks to us through his Son. Through Christ, we know the Father. Through Christ, we understand the mystery of God. That which was hidden and kept hidden from the foundation of the earth. We're told in the scriptures that there were prophets who longed to look into these things and see these things for themselves. They wanted to see. They saw it through a glass dimly, and they didn't see it as we now see it. And we know the name of Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And so he's the brightness of God's glory, and he's the express image of his person. And we know him by his power, for he has purged us of our sins. And he is the one who is set down at the right hand of the throne of God with the majesty on high. And so, seeing that, how does Christ appear to us today? If he came pre-incarnate and revealed himself and spoke of the truth of God to his people then, how does he reveal himself to us today? Well, we hear him speak in our hearts. He dwells in our hearts by faith. We hear him being born again, regenerated by his Spirit, which is given unto us, whereby we hear and understand those things which only the saints of God know and understand. Because he's gathered you together in that precious body, precious to our Lord. And so he continues to speak to us and reveal himself to us by faith through the preaching of the word, through his scriptures, through his word. It speaks of him, and we hear his voice and understand and know the things that God has given to us freely and abundantly in Christ. Listen to Ephesians 3:17, where Paul said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And in that context, verse 16 and 18, we learn that that's how we understand what the brethren understand, what God has revealed to his church. It's by Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith. That's where we're strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Our Lord tells us in John 16, verse 13 and 14, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, when the Father and the Son send the Spirit to dwell in us, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And what he's saying there is the Spirit comes in with the preaching of the gospel, and the Spirit takes the things of Christ declared in this precious gospel word, and he shows them unto you. He shows you Christ. He makes you alive to receive those things of Christ, and he shows them to you in the new man, his creation, which he's made. Now, we saw this work of grace in the message last week, where God promised to bear fruit in this woman's womb. And so this woman has heard this word. She's heard this. It's good news to her. And she comes to her husband in great joy. In great joy. It's like what our brother read there in Mark 16 when it said the women came to the tomb worried, wondering who's going to roll away the stone for us. But when they got there, they were joyful. It didn't say that, but you know it because it points out, it focuses saying the stone was very great. Christ has lifted that stone. He's taken away the deadness that laid upon us and crushed us and kept us down, unable to hear, unable to see, unable to believe, having no life in ourselves. He's delivered us. He's rolled away the stone. He's risen again. And so we hear and know our Savior, and she comes with great joy. Now look at verse 6 and 7. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. I'm reminded of that woman at the well who heard Christ speak and said, "I perceive that thou art a prophet. Thou art a prophet." You know when Christ has spoken to your heart, and there will be life, there will be joy, there will be a receiving of his word. And she says, "But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, from the womb to the day of his death." Right? That new man formed in us by the grace of God in Christ. And she declares to her husband what she has heard. And he can hear the joy in her heart, the gladness of what she has heard, so that he must now hear this man also. Now first, in verse 6, when she said, "I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name." I was thinking on this, and I thought, well, this is peculiar. Either she's not a perfect type of the church, it's an imperfect type, and that does happen. Or our Lord is teaching us something about the gospel, something about what he must do for each of his children. In the account, I realize when we're reading Judges 13, I know that this woman, as the wife of Manoah, knows little more than her husband. She's seen him, and that's about all that she knows more, because now she's told him everything that was told to her. But as the type of the church of God, what we learn is that for all the joy that you have in Christ and believe him, and the excitement you have in your heart, that life and joy and light which is given to you, and you go and tell others that good news that you've heard, doesn't matter how wonderful Christ is to you, they still cannot hear. They still do not believe until Christ gives them that word, until he gives them that same life which was given to you. And so she's not able to communicate to him from where he's from, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is the Savior and the Redeemer of his people. She cannot give him his name so that he can hear it, because he must be given that by Christ himself. Isaiah asked, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" It's got to be given. And it's not given by you or me to whom we would give it, but it's received. It's given by God and received by those to whom God will be gracious and merciful. But you are full of joy, and you go and you spread that gospel word. You cast that seed wide. You put it out there, because we don't know who the Lord's people is, but he does, and he'll reveal them through the preaching of the word. He'll manifest faith in them. And so what the Lord is teaching us about the gospel is all his people must hear that gospel. They must hear the voice of Christ speak for themselves. When we're preaching it, that voice must be lifted up with our voice. And he comes, as he will, in the preaching of the word, and he brings it with power to the heart of his people whom he will. He does that work. And so his child being born again, regenerated. I don't understand the mechanics of it, but he shows us in his word, preach this word, preach this gospel, because this is how the Lord is pleased to save his people. So we declare it, and he'll regenerate them, and they'll hear his voice. And then they'll hear, and they'll know why you are so joyful, so glad, because they'll have heard that word themselves. At the same thing, that woman at the well, right, she went and told the people that lived in her town, and they came and heard Christ, and they said, "Now we believe, not because of what you've said, but because we've heard him for ourselves." We've heard him ourselves. And so Revelation 2:17, it says it this way: "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. We are more than conquerors through Christ that saved us. That's how we overcome in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And our God gives to us that hidden manna, that gospel, that mystery which was hid to others, but is now revealed unto you. It's now given to you graciously by the voice of our God. And so she can't tell him where he's from or what his name is, because Christ has to reveal it to him. And you can describe him and you can tell others what Christ has done for you, and you ought to. We should. But they're not going to hear it and receive it with joy and gladness in a living soul until Christ gives them life. So you just keep on declaring it as long as you have that open door, but it must be Christ who reveals it to them. And it says that our Lord says, I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Christ is that new name, the Lord our righteousness. And that's our name as the church, the Lord our righteousness. He's our righteousness in whom we rejoice. And so the Lord purposed to be gracious to Manoah. We know he purposed to be gracious to Manoah. And I know that because the next thing you see is Manoah praying. Manoah's praying. Verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. He answered him. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Now remember, the woman is a type of the church, and the church has been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so she takes that word of reconciliation, which we have heard, how that God has been reconciled to us by Christ, and he's reconciled us to himself by the death and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we take that word of reconciliation and go and tell. And that's what she does. She runs and tells her husband, verse 10, the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And that's what the Lord does. He gives his pastors a message which we are excited to tell you. We're glad. We're looking forward to preaching this word and to declare what God has revealed unto us, that your hearts will be blessed and filled with the joy that he's given to us. And so we preach this word. And so Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And we know that word blesses our heart because we know exactly what he's saying. I am the true and living God. I am that I am. Just as our Savior said, I am. I am. It's Christ. He's our God. He's our Savior. And he reveals to us our God and Father. And so men are led to Christ through the preaching of the gospel. We see that. They're led to Christ through the preaching of the gospel. Verse 12, Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. Do exactly what I've said to my church. You, as the Lord has revealed it to his people, you walk in that. You walk in that light that your God has given to you. And let there be peace and fellowship and joy in your hearts with one another, rejoicing in what your God has given to you, revealing Christ to you. And so we see here in this how the church is taught that same message. This is how the Lord saves all his people and comforts his people together and settles them together, resting and rejoicing in that one Savior, that one faith, by that one Spirit, in that one baptism, that one hope of our calling, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're taught this through that preaching, the faithful preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not what you do for God, but what God has done for you richly, abundantly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you carry that message out, you carry that joy out, and you minister that grace to others that has been ministered to your heart, to your heart. Now, we have an example of everything we just read in Acts chapter 2. Let's turn there, Acts chapter 2, hold your place in Judges 13. But verse 36 is where we'll pick up Acts 2. And here's Peter preaching Christ to the Jews that were assembled, gathered together by God, that he might be gracious and merciful to this elect people here. He gathers them together, his chosen. And he says, verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's standing there and declaring Christ to the people. He's declaring Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Just like Manoah, what shall we do for this child? What are we to do here? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, contrary to what the flesh teaches us, what carnal men teach and show this as works, you need to stop doing that and start doing this, and you need to get right with God. You need to repent and be baptized. What he's focusing on there is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be turned from your works, whereby you think to make yourselves righteous and acceptable with God, trusting those things, and be repent of them and be turned to Christ. Believe him, as testified by your baptism. You're declaring publicly, I trust Christ. He's all my righteousness and my hope. I've repented from dead works that cannot save under the ministration of condemnation and death, and I've been turned by the grace of God to the righteousness of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby God is just and gracious to me in his Son. And we're baptized in him for the promise. And that's what we're speaking about here this morning, right? The promise of Christ, the promise of Christ. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so what we see here with Peter and these men and women gathered together under the sound of the gospel, who were blessed and turned, thousands of them that day in hearing that word. So that's what we see here in Judges 13. We see the Lord ministering his word and working salvation in the hearts of his people. Now, there's a lot of spiritual blessings that of our Lord spoken of here that are traced out in this chapter in Christ. But collectively, what they show us is that every child of God is going to have this word ministered to them. And they're going to be delivered from darkness and brought into light, and given an understanding of the salvation of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Right? And that's what we saw declared when we looked this morning at the redemption of Christ, the blood redemption of Christ. He delivered us out of the hands of justice, wherein, and he delivered us where we were dead in trespasses and sins and lay in darkness in a tomb. He delivered us out of that death by his death and given us life in his kingdom by his resurrection power. By his life we stand. So, through the gospel, men are going to know who Christ is, what he came to do, that is, who he came to save. He describes them in his word. They are poor. They are brokenhearted. They are bankrupt sinners who cannot deliver themselves. Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And you don't have to be ashamed to say it, that I'm the worst of the worst. But Christ gave his life for me. And if he could save me, he could save a sinner like you too. And so he teaches us that. That's why we see how filthy we are. That's why we're brought low, to humble us, to show us our need of Christ, to not be proud and lifted up and think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think of ourselves. But we look to Christ. And we know what he accomplished for us. He's going to make sure we know that he has saved us. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's a done deal. He is the successful Savior. He's accomplished what he came to do. He did not fail. So first, just looking at a few of these things in verse 15, we're going to see that he creates a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in his people. We want him to stay with us. We want Christ's presence to be with us when he's near. And we're near him. When he draws us to himself, we're blessed and comforted. Where there's peace. And we may not understand all things about him. There's a lot that even initially we see here with Manoah. He didn't really even know who he was talking to. He just knew he wanted this man to stay with him. It says, verse 15, Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. You see, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so it's your God that creates that hunger. He's the one who reveals to you your great need, that you are a sinner, and that he alone is the Savior, that he's the great physician that heals his people. And by his stripes, we are healed. We know how he healed us. He'll reveal that to us. And so we see constantly in Scripture how that there are those who constrain Christ, who ask Christ, stay with me, please. Even in that woman at the well, in John chapter 4, it says that the people constrained him to stay with them. And if I remember correctly, he stayed 2 days, speaking the truth, ministering that grace to those people there in Samaria, of all places. Now, second, he will give us a clear, having drawn us, having shown us Christ, having created in us an interest in him as sinners, at needing his fellowship, his light, his life and power, he gives us a clearer knowledge and understanding of who he is, of just who he is and how precious he is. He's not going to leave his child in darkness. He is pleased to tell him. Does he have to do that? No, I don't think he probably does have to do it. But that's what he tells us he does in his word. He does bring us into light. He does give us a knowledge and understanding of him. For faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He's going to bring it to pass. So verse 16 in Judges 13. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. Manoah didn't know everything about Christ. He didn't see him perfectly. And so Christ was teaching him, making him to know, you don't do sacrifice to heavenly creatures just because they're angels or a spirit or something like that. You offer your praise and thanksgiving to God. You don't worship men. You don't worship angels. We worship God and God only. Only our God. And so he's laying a good foundation for Manoah so that Manoah will come into an understanding of who Christ is. That he is God. He is the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the mediator between God and men. He's the one who delivers us from death. Judges 17 and 18. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name? seeing it is secret. And the margin says, wonderful. His name is wonderful. And we do rejoice and sing praises to our God and Savior because we see the wonder of His grace. We're going to wrestle with God. As Jacob received that blessing and was given the name of his God, and when he wrestled with that angel, we're going to wrestle. We're going to wrestle with our God, and we're going to know, we're going to be blessed to know that He's our righteousness and He's our grace, and that He's fulfilled that promise of grace in Christ. And one thing I am thankful for, and I know you are too, that believe that we know the name of Jesus, that His name has been made precious to us, that He's not just some name that we think nothing of, but He is precious to us. That's grace. That's given to you that believe. That's not your flesh. That's given to you that believe by the grace of your God. And not only is Christ preached plainly and boldly and clearly to His people since He's ascended to the Father, but He's the one that makes His name known in the hearts of His people. We know that He saved His people from their sins. He accomplished it. He is the name given which is above every name. The Father is well pleased with the Son, so that He is exalted above all the other names. And every knee shall bow to Him, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. We're all going to bow our faces before Christ. And so Christ is the Lord and Savior, our Deliverer, our Friend. He says in Jeremiah 31:34, they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Which, as we heard this morning, is through that redemption of Christ, by His blood shed. That's why God has forgotten our sin, because it's been put away. Christ, the Lamb of God, has borne that sin in Himself and carried it away into the wilderness so that it's gone. And you are spotless before Holy God. We're free of our sins and condemnation. Now, our risen Lord gives us to know these spiritual things, whereby He takes us out of darkness and graciously brings us into the kingdom of light, where we have understanding and knowledge of Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. And we have an example of this, again, when looking at the men on the road to Emmaus. We see them on the road to Emmaus over in Luke 24, and you can go there, Luke 24, verse 29. We see this, how that Christ works this desire of fellowship, this hunger for peace and to know our God and to be blessed with the presence of God. Luke 24:29, but they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. They didn't even know who He was. But they constrained Him to stay with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Now, He's their guest, but He's the one ministering the bread of heaven to them. He's ministering to them. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister life to His people, to lay down His life as the servant for them who are His people. The greater serve the younger. And we see His mercy there. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Oh, it's a blessed day when Christ opens the Scriptures to you and preaches Christ to you and gives you that understanding to hear Him and to rejoice in Him. It's a blessed day when you've heard the voice of your Savior and you leave here with joy in your hearts, being thankful for what He's done for you. The third thing we see is that all our works now are wrought in us by Christ, and we're made acceptable to the Father. Right? When we look at ourselves in this flesh, we're not too pleased. And the more we see, the less pleased we are with ourselves, and the more fearful and doubtful we are about our salvation. But Christ is your acceptance with the Father, not your works. It's never your works. It's always Christ. And God receives every one of his children for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. We stand in Christ. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In the Lord. Now notice, the sacrifice that Manoah made is sanctified by Christ. It's only received by God because of Christ. Verse 19 and 20. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, just as his name is, and Manoah and his wife looked on. Could you imagine? Their faces glowing like, what is happening before our very eyes? All they could do is look on. They stopped doing whatever they were doing and just looked. They looked. And that's what our Savior, by grace, works in our hearts. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look on him. See his wondrous grace and mercy and power. For it came to pass, verse 20, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces. They saw the sacrifice of Christ made for them, so that they're now righteous and precious in his blood, in his offering, what he offered to the Father. That's the free offer of the gospel, is Christ freely offering himself to the Father. And the Father received him and accepted him. And therefore, you that come unto God by faith are received and accepted of the Father. Because in the Son, God is well pleased in him, in our Savior. And so we see him, we glory in Christ. We're made to rejoice in him when we are brought to that cross, to behold what our Savior did as our sacrifice, dying our death in our place, giving himself and doing all things perfectly, fulfilling all righteousness with us in him. In him. We died with Christ. We were crucified with Christ. We were put to death with Christ so that we are delivered from the hands of justice. We're delivered from the law and having to work a righteousness for ourselves, which we could never do. And we were buried with him and are raised again in and by the grace of our God in Christ by his power. And he fixes this understanding in us. He shows us Christ. He shows us his perfections and glory. And it says, verse 21, that the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. As soon as sight was removed from the equation, then they saw by faith. And they knew, this is Christ. This is our God. This is our Savior who we've been standing face to face with. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You believe because you see not. But you see him and hear him by faith. By faith. We live as new creatures in and by Christ. Now Manoah, he was shaken by this. When he saw what he saw, he was shaken and he feared. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife, again, typical of the church, said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. He wouldn't have raised Christ from the dead. He wouldn't have even sent the Son into the world. He would have destroyed us all in Adam. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. It's a mercy. When we hear that gospel, and we see the holiness and the glory of God, When he goes from being little g God in our fleshly hearts and becomes God Almighty, who is sovereign in salvation, sovereign over all things, working all things to the glory and honor and praise of his name. When he becomes God to us, then we fear and we become afraid in ourselves because we see how foolish we've been all this time, thinking that we were doing things to please God and he was looking to us for what we would do and responding to us. No, we see that God is sovereign and in control of all things, and we're made afraid. But through the preaching of the gospel, we're shown God has been merciful to shake you, what you trusted in, all your dwelling places of wood, hay, and stubble. And he's burned them up before your eyes and brought them to nothing. He's shaken everything. But those things which are of heaven, that are formed in heaven by God, those precious things, silver, gold, and precious stones, things that cannot be shaken, they'll last. They'll stand. That which is made of Christ shall continue, and it shall never crumble. It shall never fall apart. You have a lasting habitation in Christ. That isn't falling apart. That's not going away. It's not burning up. It's not blowing away. It's not being carried away. It's fixed on the rock, which is Christ. And that's our hope and our understanding. And so through that word, you're settled again. You're settled. And that fear, when you which you had in looking to what you are in yourselves, is settled by pointing you once again to Christ. Look on Christ. Look upon the servant of God whom he has sent, who faithfully was obedient to the Father in all things which we could not do. But he did them faithfully, perfectly unto the end. And so we're thankful. We're thankful for his word of comfort. First John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And so believe your God. He is fulfilling all things before your eyes. We're just looking on and seeing everything that he has and is doing to bring to pass all that he promised. He's already accomplished it all. He's just working it out before our eyes. We're just seeing it here. And I'll close with this promise in Judges 13:24. What the Lord promises, he performs. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And that's a picture of Christ our Savior, who grew in the eyes of God and men, who grew and was blessed. And we see the power and glory of God, the Son of Righteousness. Amen.